the scripture, we walk by faith and not by sight. Touch the person next to you and tell them, I'm getting ready to take my faith off. I'm getting ready to take my faith. Now come on, just take your faith off right where you are. Come on. Walk it out, walk it out, walk it out. Come on. See, when you walk by faith, you don't have to step hard. You can just walk in the spirit. Come on. Walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. Let me say, walk in the spirit. Come on, come on. Walk in the spirit. Everybody say now, walk in the spirit. Say now, walk in the spirit. Say yeah, walk in the spirit. Let's go now. Just walk it. Step by step we. Step by step we. Walk in the spirit. Come on. Take your faith walk. Take your faith walk. Come on.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Welcome to the Living Your Destiny broadcast with Dr. John Barton, bringing you the Word of God with simplicity and revelation. Now, let's join Dr. Barton for today's message.
Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The New Living Translation says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now, I want you to note right here, God has plans to prosper us. I want you to say that God has a plan to prosper me. Amen. Notice Jeremiah says that there are not plans to harm you. One translation says it's not plans for your disaster. It's not plans for your hurt or harm. It's plans to prosper you. It's plans for your welfare or for your well-being. Amen. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy just simply means second law or second word, because when Moses came down from the Mount of Sinai, when he saw the children of Israel were sinning, he broke the commandments, literally. And God made him go right back up again and get those commandments all over again. So he was the only one to ever fast 40 days and 40 nights twice. See, if you don't get it right the first time, you're going to have to get it right the second time. So Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." Notice, it is God who gives us power to get wealth. Amen. Some translation says the ability to produce wealth. Another translation says the power to be successful. How many of you want to be successful? Now, you do realize that success for the believer can only be found in the will of God. If you're in the will of God for your life, if you're in the center of your assignment, if you are fulfilling your God-given purpose and destiny, that's where you find success. And wherever you are in God's will, when you are in God's will, you have God's provision. You're never in a shortage. You're never struggling with lack, although you may have obstacles or situations that will come up, but God will always provide for you, regardless of what comes up in your life. So we see from Jeremiah that God has plans to prosper us. And we also see from Moses that that plan comes with power. With the plan of God comes the power of God to prosper. When you're in the plan of God, when you're in the will of God, you have the power to prosper. You have the power to excel. You have the power to succeed. So what I want to talk to you today, I want to talk to you from the subject, the power to prosper. Because I realize that if we're going to build a new sanctuary for the Lord, debt-free, then we have to prosper. Come on, somebody. We cannot do anything if we don't have God's blessing, if we don't have God's hand upon our lives. How many of you want to prosper? Let me just establish that before I go any further, because maybe I just need to go to another church and teach this. How many of you want to prosper in your life? Now, if you've come to this church for any length of time, you know that prosperity is not just limited to material blessings. It's not just limited to monetary or financial blessings. Prosperity for the believer, for the Christian, is wholeness. Say wholeness.
Wholeness.
Prosperity is peace, is wholeness, is shalom, is completeness in every area of your life. The Apostle John says, he said, I pray above all things, I wish above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. So we know to the degree that our souls prosper, our lives will prosper. To the degree that our soul prospers, how does your soul prosper? You're getting the Word of God. You're being fed the Word of God. You're meditating on the Word of God. You're speaking, you're declaring, you're living by the Word of God. That is the picture of a prosperous soul. You know, there are so many souls that are in darkness, and there are so many souls that are weak and dealing with lack of nourishment. It's because they're not getting the Word of God on the inside of them. But when you get that Word on the inside of you, you will begin to prosper. And that prosperity is not just limited to the spiritual realm or into the soulish realm. It begins to overflow into the financial realm. So I'm going to be focusing on financial prosperity today. Again, if you're just a new member or a new visitor, again, because, you know, there's a lot of contradiction and controversy, rather, in the body of Christ, because this is the one place people don't want to hear about money. Yet secretly they want it. Come on, somebody. So you have to understand, prosperity is not just limited to money, but it does include your money. And how many of you know we need money to do what God has called us to do? If you don't believe that, you are literally on another planet. Because I will guarantee you, they will not just always give us stuff just because we're church. It costs to be here. Amen, somebody. Amen. It costs to get that material to build. It costs to, amen, put that dirt on the property. Everything costs. We're getting invoices even as I speak. We're getting them. Hallelujah. So God wants to prosper us so that we can do what he has called us to do. If we're going to prosper, it takes the power of God to prosper. Now remember, as believers, we have the advantage in the earth. Why? Because we have the blessing on us. What is the blessing? The blessing is not the stuff, it's not the product. The blessing is the empowerment. The blessing is God's empowerment on our lives to prosper, to excel, to succeed. Amen. It is the anointing of God. When you study the scriptures, the blessing, the anointing, the grace of God, the power of God, all of those are interconnected. They're interrelated. The blessing of God is the power of God. The power of God is the anointing of God. The anointing of God is the grace of God. Hallelujah. And we need that. See, as believers, that blessing gives us the advantage in the earth. While the world is toiling and manipulating and politicking and doing all kinds of perverse and crooked things to get money, we as believers are in the will of God, amen, and we have the blessing of God over our lives, and we don't have to act like the world and do things like the world to prosper. We do things God's way, the kingdom of God's way. Remember, amen, God's kingdom is his way of doing things. So if we are to seek the kingdom of God, we are to seek God's way of doing things. Can you say amen? Amen. So the blessing of God is an empowerment to prosper. It's an empowerment to succeed. It's an empowerment to multiply. God wants to multiply us. I don't care what anybody says, it's not the will of God for us to stay at the same level. When God created Adam and Eve, here's the first command he told them, be fruitful and multiply. Come on, somebody. God is a God of increase. Somebody shout increase.
Increase.
He's a God of multiplication. So the blessing of God comes to multiply us. It comes to increase us. It comes to cause us to excel and to rise above what tries to hold you back. There are things that will try to keep you down, but when that power comes, when that anointing comes, it will cause you to rise above the obstacles. You know what obstacles are for? For the believer, obstacles are for overcoming. Glory, hallelujah. So if there are obstacles in your life, amen, it's just for overcoming. Get over it. Touch your neighbor and say, get over it. Hallelujah. So the power to prosper is the anointing to prosper. Notice the writer Moses, he says that it is God who gives us what? The power to get wealth. He didn't say that he gives us the wealth, but he gives us the power. Amen. God is not just going to throw the wealth on you without giving you the power to get it. Now, within the power, within that blessing, comes ideas, God-inspired ideas. I want you to write that down, because even as we go into the new year, I want my leaders, I want those of you that's in position to begin to believe God, and those of you that's part of this church, believe God for God-inspired ideas. God-inspired ideas, because that is the power to prosper. God will speak to you in a dream, and he'll show you ways to get out of debt. God will give you ideas, he'll give you concepts, he'll give you strategies. That's all within the power. Now, when I say power and anointing, I'm not talking about a shaking. I'm not talking about a feeling on your arm or on your back. Amen. I'm talking about, amen, revelation knowledge and enablement, something that's on your life or that's on the inside of you that's causing things to happen in your life. Glory, hallelujah. I mean, God's favor is evident on your life, that everywhere you show up, I'm talking about the favor of God is just making ways for you. Every business engagement, every business dealing, I mean, it's happening in your favor. That's the blessing working on your life. That's the power of God at work in your life. See, God wants us to begin to produce these kind of blessings in our lives. Hallelujah. It's one thing to, you know, to kind of act a certain way in church. But let me tell you know where it really counts? When you go home, when you go on that job. Hallelujah. When you go in that meeting, on that interview, when you fill out that job application and you go and have that interview, that's where it really matters. When people begin to see the blessing of God operating in your life. And the writer says that God gives us the power, the ability. It's a supernatural ability. Again, as believers, that power, that blessing gives us the advantage. How many of you know you have the advantage? You are never in a less than position. Why? Because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. It's a supernatural ability. It's God's super on your natural. Now, I know we all have abilities, because when God created us, he placed within us abilities and talents to serve him and to serve one another. But if you don't have God super on your ability, you're just average. Without the supernatural power of God on your ability, it just makes you like everybody else. But what causes you to stand out is you have the super on your natural. You don't just have a singing gift, you have an anointing to sing. You don't just have a speaking gift or a preaching gift, you have an anointing to preach. You don't have just a gift to serve in whatever capacity that you serve, maybe as a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, or a custodian, it doesn't matter. But there is something on you that causes you to stand out from the rest of the people. Regardless of what you do, there's a supernatural ability that causes you to excel, even if you are a street sweeper. If your job is to, it don't matter what you do, your job may be to just pick up trash, but there's something about the way you pick that trash up. I mean, you don't leave anything behind. Because you have the super on your natural. Sometimes people think they have to have big positions in order to prosper, but you can prosper and excel doing what other people don't want to do. But because you have the super on your natural, you're not just doing it like they're doing it. You're doing it in a way that honors God. Hallelujah. And when you honor God, that supernatural ability is released on you. How many of you want that for your life? Glory to God. We're talking about the power to prosper. Everybody say the power to prosper.
This concludes our broadcast for today. If you would like to secure a copy of today's message in its entirety, you can do so by calling us at 1-888-727-8900. Order today and watch the Word of God change your life. For more information on upcoming events, or if you would like to become a monthly partner with John Barton Ministries, call now at 1-888-727-8900 or visit us online at johnbartonministries.org.
Did you know the first few moments of your day can set a positive tone for the remainder of your day? Your Daily Destiny is a 31-day devotional written by Dr. John Barton to help you begin each morning building your faith and renewing your mind to the abundant life you were destined to live. To purchase your copy, visit online at johnbartonministries.org.
Thank you in advance for your faithful prayers and generous support. Until next time, remember, if you can leave your history, you can live your destiny now. Welcome to the Living Your Destiny broadcast with Dr. John Barton, bringing you the Word of God with simplicity and revelation. Now, let's join Dr. Barton for today's message.
And here's something God has placed within my spirit. He says, tell my people I want to make them prosperity agents. God wants to make us prosperity agents for the kingdom of God. In other words, there's a purpose why he prospers us. When God talks about, I want to prosper you, or I have plans to prosper you, or I'm giving you power to get wealth, it's because there's a purpose associated with that. He wants to prosper us so that we can be prosperity agents for the kingdom of God. So that we can promote the kingdom of God. So that the gospel of the kingdom can be preached through us. And we are the agents that's causing it to happen. We are the ones that's advancing the cause of the kingdom. If the hungry are going to be fed, it's because we are the prosperity agents to feed the hungry. If there are orphanages that need to be built in these countries, amen, we are the prosperity agents that's going to build these orphanages. And believe me or not, we're going to build orphanages in these countries around the world. New Kingdom Life Center, Africa, Asia, amen. All of these countries that's in need, Brazil, that's in need of support. We are the prosperity agents that's going to cause it and cause it to happen in the earth. It's not just about a building, it's about the kingdom. But the building is a tool because it's going to be our headquarters. Hallelujah. It's going to be where we are stationed, where people all around the world can come and be a part of the worship experience. Amen. It's a tool. Yes, we're going to build it. We're going to become prosperity agents to build that new sanctuary, but that's not the end of it. That's just a new beginning for us. God wants to make us prosperity agents. I want you to speak this over yourself. Say, I am a prosperity agent. For the kingdom of God. Now, you didn't believe it. You need to tell yourself again. Say, I am a prosperity agent for the kingdom of God. Come on, give God praise if you receive that. Now, to accomplish any mission in the earth, there has to be financial backing. I don't care what you're doing. There has to be financial backing. If you see presidential campaigns going on, you better believe that there are some big dollars backing up these politicians. Because one of the clues to as to who's going to win the election is who has the greatest backing, who has the greatest financial backing. Now, I don't know what your party is, but amen, for some people, you might be in trouble. Amen. Whoever has the biggest financial backing, that's a clue as to who will possibly win the election. Now, here's something I've been studying in light of the events that's been happening recently around the world. I read an article recently on how terrorists fulfill their mission. Do you realize that in order for terrorists to fulfill their mission, there has to be financial backing? Now, listen to this. This is from an article. I just gleaned some of the information from it. But David Cohen, the Treasury Department's Undersecretary for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence, described the Islamic State last October as probably the best funded terrorist organization we have ever confronted. Weapons, vehicles, employee salaries, propaganda videos, international travel, all of these things cost money. Somebody's wealth and resources are helping this group to carry out deadly campaigns around the world. And so what this intelligence group or agency was trying to do is, what they was telling the sources on CNN was that the first step in the war against terrorism, you won't believe it. The first step in the war against terrorism is to cut off the funding. Listen to this. Because normally, U.S. efforts to cut off funding for terrorists, here's what they have to do. They have to focus on tracking and stopping the flow of the funds through the international system. Since 9/11, the United States, other countries, and international organizations, such as the International Monetary Fund and the United Nations, have set up initiatives to detect and stop the flow of funds to terrorists. Leaders of the group, amen, issued a statement on Sunday, this is a couple of weeks ago, calling for better coordination to cut off funding channels to terrorist organizations, including exchanging information and freezing terrorist assets. Are you listening to me this morning? Some sources say that ISIS is receiving somewhere between $1 to $2 million a day. They have accepted funding from government, private sources in the oil-rich nations of Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and a large network of private donors, including Persian Gulf royalty, businessmen, and wealthy families. Now, how many of you know that the enemy's mission is to steal, kill, and destroy? Even Satan knows that if I'm going to fulfill my mission in the earth, it has to have financial backing. Now, bump your neighbor and say, Pastor's going somewhere today. Either you're going to go with them or be left behind. One of the main ways to stop the work of the enemy is to stop the flow of funds from flowing in the camp in which it's operating its mission. Hallelujah. So that lets me know something. Wait a minute. If there are people that are very, very passionate and adamant about stealing, killing, and destroying lives, we as believers should be just as passionate and adamant about giving life. But one of the ways that we can give life is if we have become investors in the kingdom of God. Here's what I prayed. I said, God, I only want to talk to investors on Super Sunday. Amen. I don't want anybody with a religious or worldly mindset that feels like, you know, they feel pressure because we're talking about finances, we're talking about giving. God, just send me investors today. I want to flow in this anointing and this grace. I don't want anything trying to hinder what I'm speaking or what I'm talking about. I want investors. I believe the investors showed up today. I believe the kingdom investors showed up. Somebody shout, I'm a kingdom investor.
I'm a kingdom investor.
So again, if the enemy knows that, the enemy knows it has to have financial backing in order to fulfill his mission. We as believers, we can't just continue to sit back while the enemy is fulfilling his mission and say, oh, well, oh, you know, these are the end times. These are the last days. That's just a cop out. Of course, these are the last days. It's been the last days over 2,000 years ago. The Apostle Paul talked about the last days. Come on, let's stop being so religious and let's ask God, what do you want us to do in these times? What do you want us to do in these last days? And the only way as a church that we can fulfill our mission to give life while there are terrorists and other organizations trying to take life, we need financial backers for this ministry. We need kingdom investors for this ministry. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be a kingdom investor? And you know, so here's, and this is something we're going to be doing in prayer. The Lord says, in prayer, intercessors, we have to begin to speak to the funding that's going towards these terrorists, that it would dry up in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Command all of their wealth and resources to come to naught. Now, I'm ready to get into the good part. That was the introduction. Proverbs 13:22 says something. Father leaves an inheritance to his children and to his children's children. But the wealth of the sinner or the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Glory be to God. Now God says, don't just command the resources of these groups to dry up. Start believing that you're going to receive. See, again, I only prayed for people with a kingdom mindset to get this. Amen. If you're religious or worldly minded, you're not going to get this. Here's what God says. There's about to be a supernatural wealth transfer. There's coming a supernatural transfer of wealth. Again, there's a purpose for it, for the preaching of the gospel, for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And this is one of the end time harvests that we should be believing for. We should be believing for, number one, souls, amen, but also the end time harvest of finances, the end time harvest of wealth. Because with every sinner comes, amen, wealth to impact the world and for the kingdom of God to advance. What would happen if all of these organizations that serving this crooked and destructive agenda would get saved? You're not thinking with me. Come on. What would happen if all of these rich multimillionaires that's backing up these terrorist groups, what would happen if they get the gospel and get a revelation of Jesus Christ? I wonder where the monies would start going after that transformation. Do you see how we have to start thinking? So there's about to be a transfer. There's about to be a switch in the kingdom. Oh, somebody better get excited about it. Now, I studied this in the scripture because I never want to give you anything that I can't back up in the Word of God. And I saw at least six wealth transfers in scripture, and we're going to look at all of them. The first one is with Abraham. Now, in Genesis chapter 13 and 2, first of all, we see prior to that chapter, in chapter 12, God conferred his blessing upon Abraham.